It is Tuesday, May 21st, 2013. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. Thunder on the Mountain Country Music Festival is June 6th through the 8th at Mulberry Mountain in Ozark. This event features three stages, more than 40 musical acts, camping, vendors, and more. Performers include Toby Keith, Big and Rich, Gretchen Wilson, and others. Tickets and more information available at thunderonthemountain.com.
Ahead on Ozarks, the calls for Arkansas State Treasurer to resign are mounting. Yesterday, Martha Schaffner was arraigned on several charges levied by the FBI. Plus, an assessment of the damage after last night's strong storms moved through the area.
We also have a quick guide to the must-see bands coming to Wakarusa later this month. And our tech ambassador, Ty Dennison, lets us know whether it's time to get excited about Google Glass just yet.
First, severe thunderstorms struck the area last night, leaving many people to take shelter in darkened homes and businesses. Robert McGowan, director of Benton County Emergency Management, says while no major injuries were reported as a result of the storm, entire swaths of the county were out of electricity in the wake of last night's storms.
There was a lot of power outages. At one time, the entire city of Salem Springs was out of power. The Carroll Electric at one time had approximately 4,000 customers, I believe, that were out of power. And to my knowledge, at this time, the power has been restored.
Additionally, several trees were downed by the storm, some blocking roads and some falling on houses. McGowan says volunteer fire departments and road departments have been working to clear debris from blocked roads. The storms of the last 24 hours, just the latest in a string that have hit Benton County in the past month. But McGowan says, at least for now, it doesn't look like the most recent storms will affect road repairs from the previous storms.
Thank goodness we didn't receive the flash flooding that that has caused the road damage on the past two events. So hopefully we'll avoid that and just continue on with the repairs once the rain stops.
Carroll County was also hit by the same storm. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich was in downtown Eureka Springs when the storm hit, and she reports that the storm's impact was felt outside of downtown Eureka Springs as well.
And there were massive trees snapped in two in the road heading north on 23, and in lots of broken branches in town, minor flooding. And then I spoke with the Eureka Springs Police Department this morning, and he said there were electric lines down all over town, trees down.
No injuries were reported in Carroll County either.
The U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Arkansas, Chris Thayer, says State Treasurer Martha Schaffner accepted a $6,000 payment this weekend from an FBI informant who was wearing a wire before Schaffner was arrested. Thayer made his comments to reporters shortly after Schaffner made an initial appearance in federal court yesterday. Thayer says the alleged crimes are grave.
I take absolutely no pleasure in standing before you today. The allegations against Ms. Schaffner are serious, and they completely erode the public trust that we put in our elected officials if they prove to be true.
A number of public officials are calling for Schaffner's resignation, though no plea was given at the arraignment. Her lawyer told reporters she will plead innocent. Meanwhile, Schaffner has refused to step down from her position as state treasurer, a move that has angered many in her own party. Governor Mike Beebe says there's no way she can effectively manage the treasurer's office while facing these kinds of charges.
I was shocked by how blatant the conduct was based on the allegations. Obviously the FBI did a pretty good job of cementing what they thought based upon the wire conversations. Even though everybody's entitled to a fair trial and nobody's guilty until they're found guilty, it's pretty ironclad.
Schaffner would have to be convicted before she can be forced from office. Governor Beebe says he had no advance word that Schaffner was going to be arrested until it happened on Saturday.
The city of Fayetteville will be planting more trees if the city council signs off tonight on a $5,000 grant from Keep America Beautiful and the UPS Foundation. Megan Dale, one of the city's urban foresters, says that the grant will go toward planting the city's first community orchard.
Arkansas is ranking first in the nation in percentage of food insecure households, with 37% of Washington County children are food insecure. So strongly supporting the UPS and the City of Fayetteville's leadership in environmental sustainability, this grant would fund an urban community orchard on city park property at the Yvonne Richardson Center that would empower an underserved area to grow and harvest their fresh local produce.
The location of the orchard at the Yvonne Richardson Community Center was chosen because of the gardening infrastructure already in place for the kids' crop gardens. If the grant is accepted tonight by the City Council, the trees will be planted sometime later this year.
The Northwest Arkansas Naturals had a disappointing start to the week with an 8-5 loss yesterday at Arvest Ballpark. It makes the second game in a row the Nats have dropped against Tulsa. With the loss, the Nats are now 14-28 on the year. The team takes to the road for 6 games starting tomorrow when the Naturals head to Corpus Christi to begin a 3-game series there.
Tonight, there's an 80% chance of showers and thunderstorms with lows in the 50s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with highs from 76 degrees in northwest Arkansas to 80 degrees in the Arkansas River Valley. And tomorrow night, partly cloudy with lows from 53 in northwest Arkansas to 60 in the Arkansas River Valley. As we reported earlier, Benton County was hit particularly hard by last night's severe weather. This morning, Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis spoke with Holland Hayden, the director of communications for the City of Siloam Springs, to find out how extensive the storm damage was in the city.
What effect did the storm have last night? How much damage has been seen in Siloam Springs?
Well, luckily, we only saw damage from downed trees, uprooted trees. We haven't seen a lot of home damage, and thankfully, there were no reported injuries from last night's damage through the severe weather. But a lot of limbs, a lot of uprooted trees, and, of course, some downed power lines as well.
I understand that the storm knocked out quite a bit of infrastructure in Siloam Springs.
It did. Close to 8,000 people lost power because the main GRDA, that's the Grand River Dam Authority system, where we buy our power, was hit and 2 breakers were open. However, crews restored approximately 80% of customers by about 10:30 last night. So they worked incredibly swiftly and was able to get the electricity on very, very quickly. Right now, there's still a few people without power, and that's because of downed lines, because of limbs. Our crews are going to be out restoring that power and making sure that, first of all, people are safe from down power lines and working very quickly to make sure that everybody does have power.
Now, this morning, I've read reports that 911 service was affected for a while.
Well, you know, we thought it was. And upon further investigation, it looks like it wasn't. Mainly, the challenge was that people weren't able to get through from their end. So we were still getting phone calls from 911 and on our 911 lines. However, it looked like it at the time. Our dispatch did go down. Some of our radios went down. And really what we did, we just kind of banded together, created a plan, and started putting it in place in our emergency operations center.
Now, this morning, the storm's moved through. What is happening now on the ground in Siloam Springs now that it's done?
Well, it's a little bit of rain right now, but again, our crews, especially electric, are out trying to restore power to everybody, continuing to do patrols, make sure everybody is safe, and our street crews are busy really getting some of those big limbs out of the way. It's going to take a while to get everything cleaned up after this storm, but anything that could impede traffic, that could cause damage to cars, are trying to get it out of the roadway so people can remain safe in the town.
Now, there's more rain and possibly thunderstorms in the forecast for today. What would you have people, residents, keep in mind to stay safe in those storms?
Really, they just need to be prepared. I think last night really showed everybody that you have to plan ahead for these. We can't really predict what Mother Nature is going to do, but we can prepare. There's a list of tips on our website at SilomSprings.com that tells people exactly what they can do to make sure that they are prepared for storms, and, you know, things like working together with your friends and family to establish a storm network, getting some of your medication together if you need to go to a shelter, making sure that you can actually get into a safe place in your own home, maybe a bathtub with a mattress over you. Just those tips that seem like common sense, but when it's going on and it's hectic and it's panic, you need to know that you have prepared. So I would really recommend people go to SilomSprings.com. It's listed right on our front page there.
Holland Hayden is the Director of Communications for the City of Siloam Springs, and Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis spoke with her via telephone this morning. Hayden says through the storm, the city received several notifications about blocked roads and downed power lines through its Facebook and Twitter accounts, which can be found at facebook.com/cityofsilomsprings and twitter.com/silomsprings.
A new Sikh temple has opened in Rogers, the second in the state. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich met with the temple priest as well as a temple committee member to provide us a glimpse into their religious tradition.
Man Singh, the priest of the Northwest Arkansas Sikh Temple Society, completes his two-hour morning prayer. We're alone in the Gurdwara, Sikh term for temple. It's Tuesday. Sundays are crowded with Sikhs traveling from Northwest Arkansas and Southwest Missouri. Man Singh says he's learning English, so decline talking on tape. In conversation, he refers to himself as this one, rather than I. He's very handsome beneath his long black flowing beard, dressed in white, his waist-long hair caught up beneath a maroon turban. Sikhs never cut their hair. Man Singh is from New Delhi. He arrived here several years ago, he said, leaving behind a wife and three children because he was asked by the congregation to come. His family will eventually follow. He prepares some black tea for us with a bit of cardamom, lots of milk and sugar, and offers a traditional prasad, a blessing, a handful of dried almonds with tiny white candies. He also lays out a tray of confections for the interview. Satnam Singh, the temple spokesperson, arrives and gets settled in. Everyone must remove their shoes and wear headscarves. He takes a sip of tea and says Sikhs are vegetarian. Communal meals are served on Sundays at Sikh temples as a service to humanity.
It is our duty to feed everybody. Whosoever comes to your house, it is the house of the God. Philosophy of Sikhism is just to work hard. That's called kirt. Kirt means you have to earn your livelihood with your own hands. You don't depend on somebody else to feed you. And then you recite the name of the God every morning. Then you share your earnings with the less fortunate.
Satnam Singh wears an orange bandana emblazoned with a blue kanda. That's a Sikh iconic crest. He said their holy book is a living scripture.
The written in poetic version, it's poetry, but we have compositions of our six gurus in there, six of them. 1 to 5, then number 9. Yeah. And it got 1,430 pages. And normally we undertake its non-stop recitation when we complete it in 48 hours. And we do that 2-3 times a year on the birthday of our first guru. And then we do it on Maya term day of our fifth guru. And there are so many other religious occasions which we can do that. Or sometimes the families, they do it at their own house before the marriage. If their son or daughter getting married, they do that just to make that place holy and make all that function holy.
Man Singh sits quietly beside Satnam Singh, listening carefully. He lives in the temple and is present for anyone who comes through the door. All are welcome, no matter your faith.
All are equal, men, women, rich and poor. That is the main concept of Gurudwara, that everybody has to sit on the carpet on the floor. There is no special treatment for anybody. Even if the king or president or anybody comes and joins the congregation, he has to follow the same principles.
The founder of Sikhism, Guru Nanak Dev, rejected the teachings of Islam. He taught a single message: we are all one with the creator of all creation. Guru Nanak was born in 1469 near Lahore, now present-day Pakistan, a Muslim-majority country. For centuries, Sikh religious leaders, their families, and followers were systematically persecuted and murdered by Muslim zealots. So it was decided to end the practice of supreme leadership to quell targeted violence.
All the poetry, all their writings, that is their spirit. So all the gurus, they live in that spirit, in that book. Their teachings are in there. Our holy book is our guru now.
The line of living guru succession ended with the 10th, Guru Gobind Singh Ji. Their birthdays are celebrated now as sacred holidays, and reincarnation is a belief.
It's our faith that there are 840,000 lives on this earth. And human life, it's the optimum, it's the best life on this planet. And you get it after you go through all those lives. And this is the only life where you have a power or you are able to recite the name of the God.
Pictures of gurus adorn the temple walls, which are painted white. The floor is carpeted. The holy book remains covered under an ornate red cloth on the main altar. This is the second Sikh temple to open in Rogers last January. The first one is called Guru Nanak Temple, the only two in Arkansas. Sikhism counts 27 million members worldwide, with a majority, 75%, living in the northern Indian state of Punjab. 500,000 Sikhs live in the United States, predominantly in the Northeast, Chicago, and the southern West Coast. A small Sikh community in Little Rock hopes to open a temple there. Satnam Singh moved to Arkansas in 2004 to purchase a filling station, White Hawk Center in Rogers, on the corner of Hudson and Dixieland. Back home, he serves as a judicial courts administrator in the Human Resources Department. He studied economics and has a master's in English and political science. He says living in the Ozarks has been good, with a few exceptions.
See, sometimes there are all kind of people in the society, and sometimes we come across the people who don't like to see us. Even in my business, it's a gas station, and I see sometimes the customers, they come in, they look at us, they walk out.
Last summer, a Sikh temple near Milwaukee, Wisconsin, was attacked by a white supremacist who gunned down worshipers, killing six. Reports say that many more would have died had not the temple president attacked the gunman with a butter knife. Satnam Singh says after the mass shooting, his community was contacted by the FBI, as well as Asa Hutchinson, former undersecretary with the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, who offered police protection. The community declined. We did not discuss the massacre, but Satnam Singh wished to convey this to listeners.
In our appearance, outward appearance, we look very similar to Muslims. And we put turban on, but our style of tying the turban is different than Muslims. And the Muslims, they also keep beard, but they don't have mustache. We also have the similar dress, because we were ruled by Muslims for 500 years before British came in. So we have a lot of in common with Islam. But we are altogether different from Islam. Our teachings are different, and appearance is same. So a lot of people over here, they mistook us as Muslims.
The word Sikh, loosely translated, means one who is learning.
This is the only religion which is most secular. Even our Golden Temple is open to all the castes, all the religions. Anybody can. It has four doors. That means you can come into it from any direction, and it doesn't matter which faith you have, what you follow, what you can come there from all directions.
The temple is open from 6 a.m. to noon every day and from 5 to 8 in the evening, weekdays. Northwest Arkansas Sikh Temple is located on a forested district along Highway 71 north of Ulrich Street in Rogers. Sunday morning service begins with breakfast, then recitation of the Holy Book and prayer, ending by 1 p.m. with a vegetarian lunch. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
More information can be found at nwasikhtemple.org. To learn more about the Sikh faith and culture, you can visit sikhnet.com.
Yesterday, Arkansas's state treasurer, Martha Schaffner, appeared in federal court to be arraigned on charges she accepted bribes. Nathan Vandiver from our content partner KUAR in Little Rock covered the court appearance, and he has this report.
U.S. Attorney Chris Thayer told reporters at a press conference that Arkansas Treasurer Martha Schaffner was arrested at her home in Newport after a confidential FBI informant recorded a transaction in which she accepted $6,000 for investing state money with the informant.
This is not a happy day for me personally, and frankly, I don't think it should be a happy day for anyone in this state if those allegations that we have set forth in the complaint turn out to be true.
Thayer said the transaction was similar to others that occurred every 6 months for the past few years.
At least two of those payments occurred at the Arkansas State Capitol, two of those at her residence in Newport, and two of those at her residence here in Little Rock.
Thayer said it was a tough decision to use the confidential informant, but authorities would have had a hard time making the case otherwise.
At the core of this particular conspiracy, as alleged in the affidavit, there were two people. And if both of those two people remained silent, then we would not be here today.
A legislative audit last year found that Schaffner's investment practices cost the state over $400,000 in potential earnings. Many Arkansas politicians and the Democratic Party of Arkansas are urging Schaffner to resign due to the allegations, but she told reporters after her hearing that she won't step down. Her lawyer also said she would plead innocent. In Little Rock, I'm Nathan Vandiver.
Talk of the Nation provides you with the day's news and more, the experiences and opinions of people around the country and around the world. I'm Jennifer Ludden. When you're looking for the latest news and how it affects you, your family, your neighbors, your life, turn to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Talk of the Nation this afternoon at 1 on KUAF.
Mental Health America in Northwest Arkansas presents art, music, and nature therapies tonight at 6:30 in the Schmieding Center Auditorium in Springdale. This panel discussion includes therapists Joanne Kaminsky, Carrie Jenkins, and Don Walensky of the University of Arkansas School of Nursing. This event is free and open to the public. Continuing education units are available. 273-3016 for more information. Ahead on Ozarks, Google Glass, eyewear that brings the web right to your eyes, not yet available to the public, but it has already made an impression. This was part of a sketch from Saturday Night Live's Weekend Update earlier this spring.
There we go, it's on. Okay, now to give it a command, all you have to do is say, okay, Glass, okay? Now, what's your Wi-Fi password?
Oh, at NBC, it's Peacock.
Great, okay. Peacock. Peacock. Password, Peacock. 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 Password. Password Peacock. Isn't this great, Seth? Now, if I was doing this on a phone, I wouldn't be able to talk to you like this while I was doing it. You know, Peacock. 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 And I'm on? No, I'm not.
Our tech ambassador, Ty Dennison, gives us a more serious analysis of what Google Glass might mean for the advancement of web surfing. That's ahead on Ozarks at Large.
But before that, a couple of mentions of beer.
Okay.
The Northwest Arkansas Naturals will have their third annual Beer Fest event. It takes place at Arvest Ballpark on Friday, May 31st from 6:30 until 8:30. Naturals will host the San Antonio Missions that evening. First pitch around 7 o'clock. There will be fireworks as well. The event is going to be held in the Miller Lite Party Shack. Those attending can taste more than 25 different beers.
Another recent beer fest type event was Fayetteville Foam Fest. That was the second annual event, and it was on May 4th, that weekend that we had the snow on the Friday, and it was really cold.
People were bundled up that night. Both you and I attended,
were
in stocking caps and gloves and jackets.
Oh, yeah, I definitely had lots of warm weather articles of clothing on. It was ridiculous. But anyways, everybody showed up and seemed to have a good time. There were about 300 beers that people were able to try. And recently, the organizers of the event announced that they netted $15,000 for the local food charity Feed Fayetteville.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. They also announced that the Springdale-based brewery Core Brewing Company, won the popular vote for the People's Choice competition between local brewers at the event.
And Core will be part of the event on the 31st at Arvest Ballpark.
They will. They are part of that craft beer corner that they have now at Arvest Ballpark.
That's right.
Thank you.
is Tuesday, May 21st, 2013. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
With us, Becca Martin-Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Okay, this is an Antoinette pop quiz.
Oh, dear.
You know who Paul McCartney is, right?
Yes.
Okay. I still remember someone saying, Paul McCartney was in a band before Wings. Now they don't know that there was a band called
exactly,
Wings.
Exactly, right.
That, yeah.
But anyway, he is on tour. And he is going to be in Memphis on Sunday at the FedEx Forum.
Mm-hmm.
He is also going to be at the BOK Center in Tulsa, Oklahoma, the 29th and the 30th.
Two nights.
If you have dreamed of seeing Paul McCartney.
Sir Paul McCartney.
Paul McCartney. You should visit paulmccartney.com and find out about tickets. Also in the musical scene in Tulsa, the Black Crowes Saturday at the Hard Rock Casino. On the 27th, Dierks Bentley, also at the Hard Rock Casino. Martina McBride there on May 31st. And Social Distortion, June 1st at Kane's Ballroom.
Got another still around.
In St. Louis, Korn on Saturday at the Peabody Opera House.
That's with a K.
Yes, it is. LL Cool J on June 1st at the Scott Trade Center. And in Kansas City, the Drive-By Truckers Saturday at the Crossroads.
Mm-hmm.
Cheap Trick Saturday at the Voodoo Lounge. The Lumineers, June 1st at the Cricket Wireless Amphitheater, and Guns N' Roses on June 2nd at the Midland by AMC.
This Guns N' Roses still does not have Axl Rose, though, correct?
No, I'm sure it doesn't.
Okay. Thank you, Becca.
Becca Martin-Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio is Ty Dennison, our tech ambassador. How are you, Ty?
Doing great, Kyle, and you?
Very good. Something I've wanted to ask you for some time. It was right after We made it in the 2000s, sometime January, February 2000.
The aughts,
that's right. There was a page, and I believe it was Newsweek, and this was an issue dedicated to the future because we just turned into the new millennium, right? And it showed a gentleman, and he was decked out in jacket, hat, pants, shoes, gloves. Everything was wired. Everything was wearable technology. So that's where we're going. We're going to be walking computers. Here it is more than 13 years after I saw that. Where is that guy? Is he out there yet?
There are guys out there who want to be that guy.
Yes, that I know.
They're working very feverishly to become that guy. It's coming. It's really close. And wearable computers, or just wearables as they're often referred to, are in and amongst us already and will increasingly be so.
I imagine we took a big leap in April of this year with what are called the Google Glasses?
Glass.
Boy, did I just sound out of it there. The Google Glasses.
The Google Glasses. Can I get them at the Walmarts yet?
Exactly. No. So Google Glass.
Google Glass. Yeah, Google Glass is definitely the most outward-facing and publicly known wearable out there. And Google is very proud of that. They did a good thing. At least they think, with how glasses come out and what it's doing. Currently with glass, you have to be a developer or a news outlet or have won a contest to get glass. It's called the Explorer Edition, and it's a beta test basically. Mm-hmm. And so they want to see what people are going to do with this technology, what software people are going to write to interact with this technology, things like that. And so there's not a ton of Google Glass out there, and 90% of it's over on the West Coast or on the East Coast.
Yeah.
We haven't made it here to the flyover
right.
area, as we're affectionately referred to. So if anyone in Northwest Arkansas sees someone with Google Glass, text me immediately or tweet at me, Tyrell Dennison on Twitter, because I want to meet the person who brought glass to NWA. But so glass has big implications, particularly because it takes video and photo and makes it live. Mm. So you now have the ability to record what you see or take pictures of what you see instantaneously.
As I see it.
As you see it, with something as simple as a voice command. Though I'm not sure the technology is even in place yet, I believe they're working on it to where it will be capturing constantly, and you can kind of like your DVR now mm-hmm. records about an hour of time, and you can rewind and things like that.
Oh.
That's getting baked into glass. It's not there yet, to my knowledge. Again, I have not been fortunate enough to don the glass, but that DVRing kind of ability to rewind what you just saw is getting added to glass.
So when that technology is working, you right now could be rewatching the first part of our conversation.
That's right. I could be like, oh, what did I say there? I don't – hold on. Let me check that. And I can back it up and listen to it.
Amazing.
Or I can back it up and take a still and think, wow, that Kyle Callum's he's got quite the beard going on. I need to get a picture of that.
Yeah.
And so that obviously has all kinds of implications. The basics of glass, just to get to the kind of technology of it, it's like a pair of glasses frames without any actual lenses, and technically without even the bottom of the actual frame. And it sits across your face and has a small computer that is on the right arm of what would be the glasses. And then that loops around to the front where there's a camera and a small screen that sits in the top right corner of your vision. And it's always in your peripheral vision. It's kind of like a heads-up display on what were aircrafts and what are increasingly cars.
Right.
Because we're super fancy now. And so and with that heads-up display, you can call directions, like turn-by-turn directions. You can read articles. You can look at emails or text messages and interact with things. It connects via your phone, via Bluetooth. And so it doesn't have a cellular antenna or anything like that, but there are apps for your smartphone that connect to glass to give it the ability to translate information and move information. So that's how glass works. You can use voice commands. You say, okay, glass, and that's kind of the recognition statement. And then you tell it what to do. There's a touchpad on the side of it that lets you interact with it and go through menus and things like that. And so there's a whole host of technology that's just really being tapped into. We don't know what people are going to do with it. And that's where I think Google did the right thing in getting it into the hands of people so that they can test it. They can touch it. They can do things with it.
So what, I go back to the guy I saw in that news magazine. Will we have the jackets and the pants that can, and the shoes and the gloves that can do things?
Well, we will. We will, and we do. As far as jackets and pants, there's a company called Scotty Vest that they don't actually have products in their pants and vests
yes.
that do things. They are clothes made to hold your technology.
Okay.
So it's a vest that has an iPad pocket mm-hmm. and has a, what do they call it? I don't think they call it a sound system, a personal sound system, but it's wired so that you put your iPad in your pocket or your iPhone or whatever mm-hmm. in your pocket, and your jacket's got headphones mm-hmm. that you plug in. And so that wires your outfit with the ability to interact with that.
So you're still hands-free.
Comfortably. You're hands-free.
You're comfortable.
You've got your headphones in discreetly, and you can kind of go from there. And so if you carry a smartphone, you can plug your smartphone into your jacket, put your headphones in through your jacket, and then you're done. You're taking phone calls and listening to Pandora and doing whatever you want.
Does it charge your device as
well? It doesn't charge,
okay.
Although there you can buy a battery extender that would work for that.
But, wow.
So yeah, there's as far as literal clothing goes, there's that. And gloves, besides the Nintendo Power Glove, which...
Wait, besides the Nintendo Power Glove, that sounds like an anime movie. What
well,
is that?
Well, the Nintendo Power Glove actually came out a long time ago. That's back...
Behind the wearable curve. What is the Power Glove?
Oh, it was just a...
Is it a gaming thing?
It was a gaming
thing
for the original Nintendo.
Okay.
That doesn't work anymore.
Oh, okay.
It's collector's memorabilia. And,
okay. But are there any gloves that are going
to... The only gloves that I'm aware of are gloves that have been made to allow for your capacitive screens.
Now that I'm very interested with those. In. Because when I'm running and it's cold and I want to... do something with my iPhone for music or map my run,
right.
I have to take off my gloves. And
right. And the way most modern smartphones work, most touchscreens, there's capacitive and there's non-capacitive screen. Non-capacitive are the ones you kind of have to push on
mm-hmm.
To make contact. Capacitive ones rely on the conductive nature of your body to complete a circuit and communicate that your finger's touching it there. Well, when we put gloves on, most of the time those materials aren't capacitive, and so they block that. So that's why you don't have that, and that's why you can't use things like a pen on a smartphone or things like that. You have to use styluses. Well, they're making gloves now where the fingertips are capacitive so that it'll complete that circuit. And so who wants the inconvenience of having to take off your glove when you interact with a smartphone or an iPod or something like that? I don't either, especially if I'm running. And so those are becoming a part of the wearable technology. But beyond that, there are a whole host of wearable accessories that are becoming more and more a part of our daily lives. You talk about running. There are things like the Fitbit and the Nike, I believe it's a Nike Plus, that are wearable GPS units, fitness units that will track your run for you and report it. They'll check your stats. You wear it while you're walking. You wear it while you're sleeping, and it will see
how elevation that you have climbed.
Yeah, all of that. Elevation, speed, projected calories burned, depending on if you've got the right attachments for it, heart rate and things like that. And then you just wear it all the time, and it gives you a general sense of your fitness level. You wear it when you sleep, and it'll tell you how well you sleep at different times and your sleep cycles and things like that. And so it reports back consistently how that goes. I mean, just in a real practical sense, modern insulin machines are wearable technology.
That's right.
You've got modern insulin pumps that will monitor your blood sugar level. And when they see that it's deficient, in comes the insulin. And you become balanced once again. And so that's something that we kind of take for granted, kind of like pacemakers. That's not wearable. That's installable.
Yeah.
But that's another place where technology is becoming integrated into us.
Two words, smart ascot. Come back when we've got something about the smart ascot.
I'll talk to Google about that.
Okay. Ty, thank you so much.
You bet.
Tyrell Dennison is our tech ambassador.
The KUIF Fulbright Summer Music Chamber Festival continues with two string quintets featuring two violas.
There are not an awful lot of pieces written for this combination with the two violas. Interestingly, Mozart wrote six of these quintets.
Stephen Gates, cellist and festival organizer. Hi, I'm Katie Hendrickson, host of Note from 11 to noon on KUIF Public Radio. Join me Wednesday for more from that conversation, plus a recording of Mozart's string quintet in G minor.
Wakarusa, the four-day music festival held near Clarksville, opens in about a week and a half, running from Thursday, May 30th to the late hours of Sunday, June 2nd. It's the fifth year the festival has been in Arkansas and the 10th anniversary of the festival's overall existence. In honor of that 10th anniversary, we asked Kevin Kinder, who covers music for Northwest Arkansas Media and blogs about music at nwatunedin.com, to give us a preview. He came to our studio prepared with three lists of 10, one of which he prepared in conjunction with Brett Mossman from Pipeline Productions, the umbrella organization responsible for Wakarusa.
I asked him very specifically to give me 10 bands to see during the festival. He couldn't do that, so I have 11 from him. But it goes sort of like this. Ozum Motley.
Who I like a lot.
He recommends seeing them. Calexico, which is a country rock outfit. Snoop Lion.
Formerly.
Snoop Dogg. Mm-hmm. He converted to Rastafarianism and in the process picked up the name Snoop Lion.
Sure.
He also recommends a group from Canada called Zed's Dead. They are an electronica group from Canada. He also recommends another electronica act, which is Amon Tobin, who plays late on Sunday night. He comes from South America, and I understand that he will have more laser lights and a larger production value than almost any of the other acts coming to Wakarusa. This is one of those groups that sells out arenas in other places. Maybe we're not familiar with them here, which is one of the wonderful things about Wakarusa. It brings in, I think there are 9 countries represented, all the way from Sweden to Iceland to Venezuela to who knows where.
Right.
But there are lots of world music events that come in courtesy of Wakarusa. Further down the list, we have Group Love. Mm-hmm. Gogol Bordello.
Yes. Speaking of an international flair.
Right. They are actually from the United States, but they certainly don't sound like
it. No, they are influenced by sounds from all over the world.
Eastern European gypsy jazz. Mm-hmm. It's really wild. And I have not seen them live, but I anticipate it being a rather wild show. He also recommends the festival headliners, which is Widespread Panic, the iconic jam band,
right.
Los Amigos Invisibles. Is a band from Venezuela. And a Swedish DJ duo called Iconopop.
Okay. So those are his.
Those are his
11-10.
His 11 of the top 10
yes.
shows that you can't miss. My list mirrors his in some ways. I also think Calexico is one of those don't miss sets.
Okay.
I've been a big fan of theirs for a while. Delta Ray.
Who was at Harvest Fest?
They were at Harvest Fest and blew me away while I was out there. The power went out midway through their set. They ended up just mid-song jumping on their acoustic instruments and playing. They left the stage and played in the middle of the crowd. It was really a wonderful moment. Alan Stone is kind of, he calls himself a hippie with soul. Of Monsters and Men, I think, is one that it's a can't miss. They're playing on a side stage at 5 p.m. on Friday, and it's going to be great. And Kyle and I know, both really loved their last album.
Yes, and if you watch Saturday Night Live, they were on there just a couple weeks ago.
That's right.
They have, and their next album is out anytime.
Soon, I think. I don't know the date, but
they're from Iceland.
They're from Iceland. I'm going to make sure I make it to Sunvolt, the country rock band. I've seen them several times, and they never disappoint. I also picked ZZ Ward. I think she's an upcoming singer-songwriter.
We were never the marrying type. Oh, no, we won't buy dishes or stained glass lights. Oh, no, for a table we'll never sit at. In a house that we won't ever get. I won't wake up and pick out your tie. Oh, no, you won't come home.
You know, last year, Wakarusa had the Lumineers on a backstage at 1 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon, and we saw what that group did. They blew up in a hurry. I think of all of the acts that are lower on the bill, ZZ Ward has the chance to be that next kind of Lumineers. I also picked a set by Mountain Sprout.
Favorites.
They're a Eureka Springs band. They're punk bluegrass with a lot of swear words.
And a lot of irreverency.
And a lot of irreverency. You know, one of their songs is called Dry Counties of Arkansas. You can guess what it's about.
that song's getting shorter and shorter, though, you know?
It is.
Yes.
But they play a lot of they played a lot of Wakarusa festivals, and they are playing at one of these 1 a.m. backwoods sets that's going to be particularly rowdy, I think. I also picked a set by Bombino, and he is a guitarist from Niger, and he is essentially just a guitarist. And he will have his band. He's another one of these international acts who sells out arenas in other parts of the world, but we are not necessarily familiar with him. I also picked Gogol Bordello.
Right.
And Snoop Lion, I think. I'm really curious what his transformation to Rastafarianism did. He had Miley Cyrus guest on one of his recent songs. I'm curious.
Now, you had another list, is that right?
I do, actually. And this is a list also made courtesy of Brett from Pipeline, the production company. And this is the 10 things to do that aren't necessarily music, because what you'll experience at Wakarusa, I mean, yes, it's about music, and yes, it's about sort of this community aspect of seeing all these different sites, but it's also so much about the natural settings that's around, because the venue is gorgeous. It's really sort of highlights the Arkansas Ozarks really well. And there are plenty of other things to do. And so this is a list of, in no particular order, 10 things he recommends doing. Hiking one of the nearby trails. And there's actually one that's close to the main stage that will take you down to a waterfall.
Oh, nice.
And a swimming hole. You can also, this is number two, take a shuttle to ride to the Mulberry River. And you can float and or swim.
Nice.
There is a disc golf course on the festival grounds you can play. And he also recommends, even if you don't go there for a show, visiting the satellite stage. It's in one of the more remote parts of the festival campgrounds, and he declares it the most amazing spot on the festival grounds. There is I believe it's 10 stories. However high, there is a very large Ferris wheel to ride. That's number five.
Or just take pictures of.
Or just take
pictures
of.
Depending on your appreciation of heights.
Right. Number six, eat at one of the food vendors. And there are plenty. They bring in a surprisingly vast array of food samples. There's Chinese food. There's pizza. There's all sorts of things to sample. Number seven, dress up in a crazy costume. Friday night is the annual costume contest. It is amazing the level of dedication some people have to their costumes.
And if you don't dress up, the addendum to that is just go,
right,
and people watch.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely
fun.
Absolutely. He also recommends, so this is sort of the antithesis to that, go and attend one of the morning yoga sessions. Every morning on the festival grounds, they have a yoga session to sort of center yourself after staying up too late and doing who knows what the night before, I guess. Now, this is new this year, and this is number nine. I don't know anything more about this other than to say they're existing, and that is a group of secret sets. They're not announcing these until the festival starts. So Facebook, Twitter, those kinds of outlets, you will find unannounced sets of music by performers. So he recommends going to check out one of the secret sets.
Okay.
And then on Sunday morning is the annual drum circle. And it is rather large and rather noisy. But you can participate, you can watch, you can listen. It's quite the opportunity.
You'll be blogging?
I'll be blogging at www.nwatunedin.com and filing other stories from the festival as I come across them.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, Kyle.
Kevin Kinder covers music for Northwest Arkansas Media, and you can follow his blog at nwatunedin.com. Support for Ozarks at Large comes in part from the University of Arkansas's Women's Giving Circle. Support for KUAF comes from Keels Creek Winery, featuring a variety of red and white wines using local grapes and art-themed labels. Located in Eureka Springs, Keels Creek offers a tasting room plus art gallery and recognizes the importance of public radio regarding local, national, and world events. More information available on the web at keelscreek.com.
A listener-supported service of the Department of Journalism and Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Hopewell.
Hopewell. Mm-hmm. Where is Hopewell?
Just north of Harrison.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I should know that then.
I think you told me that the last time I said this to you.
It's a Boone County town I'm not familiar with. But if it's north of Harrison, what do you get to after you go through Hopewell? If you're traveling north and you've left Harrison, then you go through Hopewell, what do you get to next?
Myrtle.
And then?
I suppose it depends which way you go. I guess if you're going northwest on that mm-hmm. road there, looks like Self. And then keep going, you get to Omaha.
Okay, I've been there then. Okay, because I've been to Omaha.
Okay.
Home of the... Oh, Bobcats, I think. Speaking of mascots, a couple of Razorback sports notes. The number 5-ranked women's golf team at the University of Arkansas began play today in Athens, Georgia in the NCAA Championships. 24 teams are there. They'll play over 4 days. It's the third consecutive season that the women's golf team has advanced to the National Championship Tournament.
Congratulations to them.
Yes. And not to wish our life away.
Mm-hmm.
But in August, Arkansas will host... The Arkansas soccer team will host Kansas and SMU on Friday the 23rd and Sunday, August 25th, to start the 2013 soccer season. That schedule announced earlier this week.
Okay.
Just to make plans.
Just to make plans.
I know you like soccer.
I do.
Yes. still some storms in the area.
Yes.
But hopefully the most severe ones have left.
I hope so.
And you got sound of some of the storms as they approached Rogers.
I did, and I kind of joked with you last night that obviously I'm a reporter because I heard the sirens as soon as I got home, and I'm a terrible example. Don't do what I do. Do as I say.
Mm-hmm.
that I was like, oh, this would be some fun sounds. So I go out on my back deck and recorded some of the sounds of the sirens that were further away in town.
When you first listen to this, you hear the sirens in the background, but you hear all the birds that are out there because you're in a
wooded area.
And then towards the end of this, then you hear the thunder coming in. It was pretty bad in Rogers last night?
Mm-hmm. Probably about 15 minutes after I did this, it just all of a sudden just hit, and there were just sheets of rain. I could not see outside. It was so windy. Like, there's so many trees. I was really worried something was going to fall, but I couldn't see, like, in my yard. I couldn't see my yard. So, but that lasted for about 15 minutes or so, and then the rest was just kind of your standard storms. You know, cleared out for a bit, and then it was some thunder and lightning or whatever around midnight, I guess. But an overnight, I'm not sure I slept through it.
It still stormed quite a bit. Want to remind you also that there are still some giveaways that you can enter at KUAF.com.
Mm-hmm. We're giving away tickets to Wakarusa, where hopefully it won't storm.
No, hope not. No.
And Wakarusa is next week, but we will be giving the tickets away on Friday's edition of Ozarks at Large. So still some time to register for that. And you can do that at KUAF.com. We are also giving away a pair of tickets to Thunder on the Mountain, which will be at the same place, but a week later, Country Music Festival. And we will be giving those away next Friday. So some time on that. Separate entries for both, please.
And again, you can do that at KUAF.com.
So did you have a good birthday yesterday?
I had a fantastic birthday. Thank you very much.
Good.
I walked into work early, and my office had been decorated by my...
Surprise. Surprising.
Yes.
Because nobody ever decorates offices here.
That's right. But no, it was a very good time. Spent part of it in the hallway, but...
Sure.
As the sirens are going off in Fayetteville. But no, very good. And now
saw a movie?
Did. Saw Star Trek Into Darkness.
How was it?
I enjoyed it. Okay. I'm not a big Star Trek fan.
Well, that's why I'm asking.
But I thought it was highly entertaining. And there's some things that I think the hardcore Star Trek fans either will really like or not. I'll have to ask.
Well, sure. I think that's true anytime they do some sort of like revamp. Because it's
right.
Like, is it a younger generation?
Yeah,
that,
yeah, yeah.
My understanding?
It's a prequel sort of thing.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was good. Good birthday.
Well,
thank you.
Good. You're welcome.
From the Carver Center for Public Radio, this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
We'll be back tomorrow for a brand new edition of Ozarks at Large.
We will. Have a happy Tuesday.